And yet in the midst and in the throes of this, there comes a Macedonian call to go out of Asia Minor into Europe, to a totally new country, new area, and pioneer and introduce the gospel over again.
And welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. It is a joy to be here again to bring the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And I trust you've been challenged already through that clip, and that you'll stay with us for the preaching message here on Let the Bible Speak, the ministry of our Free Presbyterian Church. Today we start with our Bible reading, Matthew 11, verse 25. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The verse 26, the Lord Jesus said, Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Here is the end of all theology. We finite mortals have to be happy to allow God to know some things that we don't know. Some who dive into intellectualism insist on knowing it all. They cannot stop where God has stopped in his word. It is important that we do not put a question mark where God has put a period. The life of faith is to feed on what God has said, not what we can reason why God said it. If we take the Lord Jesus as the great theologian, the truly learned man on earth, we find that he rested his case on these terms. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. This, of course, is stated in relation to the fact that God reveals salvation to some men, even simple-minded ones, while the great brains of the world are left in the dark as to God's salvation. God's salvation is all of grace from beginning to end. It is God's plan from beginning, and its design right through to execution is God's plan, bringing men to saving faith in himself. The question is asked, and it is a normal question, why does it please God to work this in some men, while many others are left without the gift of understanding and comprehension of the gospel? So many delve into a multitude of foolish and varied answers, and thereby scramble their brains, seeking to know what God has not revealed. We must rest our case on these two things. Firstly, God has a good reason to reveal his Son to whom he will. And secondly, all who will believe on the Son will be saved. None are excluded, but those who exclude themselves. Immediately after silencing the mere speculators of the Lord's wisdom, the Lord gave a crystal clear gospel invitation to all who would enjoy peace with God. Immediately the Lord preached, Come unto me. That is the best test of a man's state of heart. Have you obeyed the gospel? The question is not how many will be saved, or why not more are saved, but have you come? That is your own responsibility. Do you feel the weight of sin? Are you heavy laden with your own sins? To you the Lord promises gospel rest. This is attended with a foolproof promise or guarantee. And ye shall find rest unto your souls, the Lord Jesus said. So debate and challenge God no more. Here is his challenge to you. Come. Come as you are. Come with your load of sin. Come for rest of soul. Come with this promise in your hand. Come believing the word of the Lord who cannot lie. Come through the Son, the giver of everlasting life. And surely then you will know that God is indeed fair. He gives salvation to every man that ever seeks it. But we also know that without the grace of God and without the work of the Holy Spirit, no man will ever seek it. And so the Lord Jesus concluded, "Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight." There's the end of all good theology. I trust today the Lord has spoken to your heart, and I trust that you will consider giving your heart and life to the Savior. If you're not a Christian, and I can be of any personal help, feel free to give me a call here at 604-576-1091, or those outside the area, 1-800-969-1091. I'd be delighted to help you in any way I can in your desire to seek and know the Lord as your own personal Savior. Let's unite in prayer together, please, and we'll look to the Lord to bless. Father, we thank thee today that there is a gospel invitation in the midst of the depths of God's eternal plan to save men. We thank thee that all who come are received, and all who believe are saved. And I pray today that thou wilt confirm thy word to every heart. I pray that thou wilt shake men up to believe and trust the gospel. I pray that thou wilt open the eyes of those who are blind in sin, and I pray that it will please thee to glorify thy name in adding new names to the Lamb's Book of Life. We do thank thee today for every mercy that you give, and we pray that in this land of Canada thou wilt have purposes of grace to send revival blessing to thy church, to thy people, to every gospel faithful gospel preacher, every Christian worker, and that the power of God may rest upon thy cause. So hear from heaven, answer for us, bless thy people today, in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher, and I do strongly appeal with you to consider your soul today, your need of the Lord in your own heart. Do not put off the voice of conviction that speaks to you. If the Lord is speaking, and it is the Lord when you're troubled about sin, it is the Lord when you are troubled about eternity. That is never the devil's work to make you think about those things. And God is speaking and striving with you. It is time to give your heart to Him. He calls you, He invites you, He assures you and promises eternal life, peace through the Lord Jesus. And I pray today that you will give your heart, give your life to the Savior. The promise of the Lord is that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's Romans 10, verse 9. I do invite you to open your Bible at that verse, Romans 10, 9. Read over that verse, take that as God's word to your own heart, and pray and call upon the Lord to be your Savior. If I can be of any further help, I have a little booklet called A New Beginning. I'd be happy to send that to you. And, of course, we could talk one-to-one, and I trust give you some help in your search to know the Lord. Even just to tell us that you've called on the Lord, that would be an encouragement to us here at Let the Bible Speak. At the end of the program, you'll get all the details of our website, our email, phone number, and our church services here in Cloverdale. We would be very encouraged to have you along joining with us. We would be delighted to know that you're listening in to our webcast, also to our archived sermons. So may the Lord bless you richly and speak to your heart today as we come to part three today of The Macedonian Call.
William Carey, when he wanted to be a missionary to India, had to fight the mission boards and fight the Baptist church. They didn't want to send him. They thought his idea was a pipe dream. And it took many months and even years before he proved that God had called him. And of course, his whole ministry there did in time prove that he was called of God to India. He had to obey God rather than men. We say this is strange how God works, but God's call is greater than man's call. One of our ministers, over 30 years ago, was convinced that he was called to Spain, to go there in some kind of Christian work, and prepared and went there and set up home, he and his wife. But after a period of time, later became convinced, no, I'm wrong. This is not the place for me. And he returned back to Northern Ireland. And 30-odd years later, he's the pastor of a very successful long-term pastoral ministry. Can you explain it? How was he so sure that he should go to Spain and be wrong and return and God bless his ministry? Because God is sovereign. And if we were sitting at the back seat of the car and Paul was saying, look, stop the car, we're not going to Bithynia. We're going down to Troas to catch a ship to go over to Macedonia. We'd say, Paul's lost it. He hasn't got a marble left. He's away with it. But obviously, the vision that God gave him, he was a man, and the others too, were answerable to the call of God. Then you'll see in verse 10 that you will be set to go with a ready obedience. I love the next word. It says, after he had seen the vision, notice the next word now. What is it in your Bible? If your Bible is the same as mine, it can only be one word. Immediately. Immediately. He didn't procrastinate. He didn't say, well, you know, it's just not suitable right now. I'm not ready. This is most inconvenient. No, he didn't make any excuses. Once the call of God came, he was set with a ready obedience. And it says, immediately, we endeavored to go. And the word endeavored doesn't say, well, I made a phone call, but I didn't get through. No, he was determined to go. And once the call of God was clear, then he set himself with all his heart to go. You'll find also in verse 11 that when he was going to Macedonia and going to the chief headquarters or the chief city of Macedonia of that part, the city of Philippi, you'll notice that he made a direct course by ship. Therefore, losing from Troas, we came with a straight course. He didn't say, well, let's go for a little holiday now. This area of Samothrace is a little island right in the Mediterranean. Most probably a very beautiful place. Some historians say at this time it was a place for runaway slaves and exiles that were fleeing from Rome or the Roman Empire. Well, Paul didn't say, well, I'm going to stay here and rest up a bit. It tells us the next day he stayed one night only at that island. And the next day he was on his way to Neapolis, which was just a stone throw from the city of Philippi. He took the most direct route to do the work of God. What does that tell you about this man? What does that tell you about these men who were setting out to serve God? They had a ready obedience which they put into action. Do we have that spirit? Or are we procrastinators? Or are we trying to circumvent the hard slog of serving the Lord? This is what is required if we would serve the Lord. A ready obedience. Knowing the mind of God, to get on with it and do it as efficiently and as speedily as possible that we might get the gospel out. Then fourthly, you will not be deterred by the cost. Macedonia, as we have said, is the Greek world. It's Europe. It's across the Aegean Sea. It's toward Greece. It is undoubtedly at that time the biggest challenge anyone faced to go into the heart of the Greek cultural centers and introduce Christianity. The further you get away from Jerusalem, the further you get away from the heart of Judea into the pagan domain, the greater opposition is certain to be discovered. And I don't think that Paul was a fool to think that it was going to be easier going over the Aegean Sea and to preach over in Macedonia than in Asia Minor. I don't think that for a moment. He knew it was going to cost. He knew it was going to be mighty difficult. And when you read through Acts 16, you'll find great opposition. This is where he ends up in jail. This is where he faces the powers of darkness, this young damsel who was a soothsayer, who was a slave to demons and the powers of darkness. And Paul faces all of this as he goes into the city of Philippi to preach. He faced great opposition and great difficulty. Philippi, as you'll find, was a colony. It was a Roman garrison. It was called in those times a miniature Rome. It was on a major Roman road route. It was a place that was heavily defended. There was all the ungodliness of the Roman influence and the Roman military all around it. And it was a place where if you got into trouble, there's no telling the results. But you can't count the cost. The call of God was there. And these men went off to Philippi. You see, once you begin to count the cost in serving the Lord, you'll never do anything. You'll never do anything for the Lord. No matter what it is. You'll never teach Sunday school. You'll never go out around knocking doors. You'll never talk to your neighbors about the gospel. You'll never get involved in Christian activity of any kind. If you start to count the cost, because there's always a cost. There's the risk of rejection. There's the risk of being opposed. In this country, there is not physical opposition, unless you really walk into it. There are countries that if you give out a gospel tract, you are imprisoned. There are places right now that Christians are suffering for the gospel. But in this country, the opposition we face is more friendship, and the hostility is usually words. Nevertheless, there may be a loss of that friendship. But you can't be deterred by the cost. But to serve the Lord, to answer the Macedonian call, you will not be deterred by the cost. And fifthly, you will be committed to preaching the gospel. Verse 10, we find here that we are assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us. Called us to what? Called us for to preach the gospel unto them. A new country, a new people, new circumstances, but the same gospel. And this is the absolute commitment that is required of the gospel preacher. And every missionary, wherever he would serve the Lord, wherever he would go forth, things may be done in somewhat of a different manner, but nothing can change the message of the cross or the blood of the cross. That work of the cross is the absolute need of souls. And when you find out and read through what Paul preached in Europe, it's the same gospel that he preached elsewhere. Consistent in the message. And so, if you will answer the Macedonian call, you will be committed to preaching the gospel. Now, that's the job right up. Is it for you? Are you for the job? Are you going to answer the Macedonian call? Now, as I say, that Macedonian call could be for some in our denomination. Liberia. It could be Jamaica. We have to pray that there will be a man for Antigonish, Nova Scotia. There's also a family in London, Ontario. They have commenced radio broadcasts from our Toronto church. They want to see a Free Presbyterian church out in London, Ontario. They need someone to go. These are our Macedonian calls. There are needs in our church. Work to be done. Needs to be met. But this is the kind of person that God is looking for. I pray tonight that you are one that will answer, say, "Here am I, Lord, send me." Here is the kind of person that will answer the Macedonian call. I pray tonight that there is that passion in your heart, that there's the drive already in your soul, and you're just waiting for the directions. It's a great place to be in. It can be an agonizing place. But I assure you, if the Lord has put that burning desire in your heart, there'll be a door that God will open. An area of service. And you'll find fulfillment and satisfaction and opportunity in going through that door. May the Lord enable us to answer the call of God and go through with Him.
been listening to Let the Bible Speak, a radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. This is Ian Gallagher. Thank you for being a part of the program, and I trust that the Lord has already spoken and ministered to your heart. If I can be of any personal help, or if you would like to request a CD of this message, or perhaps have some direction on how you can hear this message again on our website, please feel free to be in touch with us here. Our burden is to take God's word, to comfort the hearts of God's people, to encourage those who are seeking to live for the Lord Jesus, and of course to reach men with the message of the gospel. And our messages are from the Bible, from the pulpit of our church here in Cloverdale. We take the sermons of our pulpit ministry and seek to air them day by day on this station, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., and also our half-hour church service on Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. on this station. And so I hope that you'll be a regular listener. I hope that you will pray much, stand with us here as we let the Bible speak week by week. Now, our church is the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. It's on the corner of 188th Street and 58th Avenue, two blocks north of Number 10 Highway. We would love to have you along at our church services. Sunday school hour, 9:30 for all ages, 10:30 morning service, and 6 p.m. our evening preaching service. We would love to have you here at the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. Come along, join with us for a service, and introduce yourself. We look forward to meeting you and to hear from you. Also, you can join our Victoria Church. We'll give you information of that if you call us on our number here, 604-576-1091, or go to our website, www.cloverdalefpc.ca. And again, join us, please, again, as we let the Bible speak.